Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
Hi there, it's Anita Johnson, and just a quick request before we get started. Please rate us on iTunes or wherever you catch our podcast. That helps other people to find us. And of course, give us a high rating. Thanks, and here's the show.
Making contact.
You're listening to Making Contact. I'm Lucy Kang. It's summer, and that means that baseball season is in full swing. And this week, we have a special story for you about baseball players from Venezuela and how the game can be a lifeline to community for the diaspora who are living far from home. As we'll hear, Latinos make up a significant portion of players in Major League Baseball. And to help us dive into what all of that means is Liz Rebecca Alarcón from the show In Confianza with Pulso, who brings us a story that first aired in July 2024. I'll let her take it from here.
Ryan Baute remembers the moment vividly. It was the summer of 2010. He was 16. The last day of a four-day baseball tournament featuring some of the best teams from all over Venezuela. His team had made it all the way to the championship. They were playing a team from Los Salinas, near the capital, Caracas, and the game was coming down to the wire. It was the bottom of the ninth, game tied. Two outs, bases loaded.
Había tres hombres en base, era último inning, dos outs.
And Ryan came up to bat. 4 days of baseball now came down to him. He hit a hard line drive straight into the outfield, a walk-off double. All his teammates ran onto the field and jumped on top of him.
Para mí, esa es la mejor etapa que yo viví en la vida.
Ryan and his closest friends playing baseball, chasing glory together, and winning. It was the best time of his life. Están ganando los Marlins 2-0. The deep, elongated, warm voice of Felo Ramirez, que en paz descanse, on our AM radio every week, calling win after win for the then Florida Marlins, is a core memory of my childhood. You all know I'm Venezuelan, and even though we're killing it in football in La Copa America right now, el béisbol is where we shine. Only the Dominican Republic has sent more players than Venezuela to Major League Baseball here in the U.S. I still have my Miguel Cabrera jersey, one of the most accomplished Venezuelan peloteros of all time. It's always been Venezuela and the DR at the top of the roster, filling Major League Baseball stadiums across the U.S. with plátano and arepa power. It's still the dream of many Venezuelan kids to be a big leaguer. But in the past 10 years, since Venezuela's economic collapse and the failing authoritarian Maduro government, a fifth of the population has left. More than a million have fled, sometimes by foot, to Peru, including Ryan. And when he arrived, he found a country that did not care about baseball. No more gloves, balls, baseball diamonds. He had to press pause on his dreams of baseball glory. But you all already know how this story goes. Giving up baseball was not an option. Today's episode is about a ragtag team of Venezuelans who are determined to keep their baseball dreams alive no matter what. I'm Liz Rebecca, and you're listening to En Confianza. Reporter Anthony Wallace was in Lima, where he met Ryan and Los Astros, a ragtag team of Venezuelans who are determined to keep their baseball dreams alive no matter what.
Growing up, Ryan Baute's family treated baseball like a religion. When he was just four, his parents christened him with a bat and glove.
Padres son deportistas desde pequeño, desde los cuatro años nos inculcaron el deporte y qué bonita manera que fue el béisbol.
Ryan fell in love, and like so many boys born in the 90s in the Americas, myself included, his big dream was to play professional baseball in the big leagues, Major League Baseball.
Es el sueño de todo niño, incluso todo el mundo quiere ser como los grandes ligas, todo el mundo quiere llegar a grandes ligas.
Ryan, I think it's safe to say, had a much better shot than someone like me. He was really good. He played shortstop, the position the best player on the team always plays, and he was good enough to make his way onto Venezuela's national team and play in the Caribbean series against the Dominican Republic and Cuba.
Fue como una miniserie del Caribe. Fue en Dominicana, fue en el 2009.
Some of his baseball buddies made it all the way to the MLB.
Uno se llama Franklin Barreto.
Franklin Barreto, a three-run homer, and the A's lead 4-0.
Barreto has done it again. Three-run.
Osvaldo Cabrera.
It's gone! Opposite field homer, Osvaldo Cabrera. And the Yankees are on the board here in the bottom of the sixth.
But Ryan developed injury problems, back issues and hernias. The pain got so bad, it eclipsed the dream.
Y entonces cada vez que entrenaba era dolores, llegaba a mi casa con dolores y decidí estudiar y me gradué en la universidad.
He talked with his parents and together they made the heartbreaking decision to end his baseball career. He was only 17. So Ryan reset his life. He got a college degree, found himself a solid career as an insurance broker. He got married to his wife, Rosemary. She had a 10-month-old son, Rodrigo, and so Ryan became a stepfather. Naturally, Ryan passed down the family tradition, and little Rodrigo took to it. By the time he was just three, they were playing baseball together almost every day. In reality, Rosemary said, Ryan isn't Rodrigo's stepdad. He's just his dad. The game brought them together and gave them purpose. Ryan's dream didn't pan out, but he and his young family had a new one, to see their son make it to the big leagues. But just as Rodrigo is getting to the age of starting school and joining baseball teams, unimaginably bad things started to happen all around the Boates family. Venezuela's economy collapsed, and the country's president, Nicolas Maduro, became a dictator. Maduro's regime rigged elections, killed protesters.
Bullets and bloodshed. 7,000 Venezuelans have been killed. Many constituted executions.
There were food, medicine, and fuel shortages.
Crisis de la gasolina, crisis de la comida.
The inflation rate reached 1,000,000%.
Here, a whole chicken or a carton of eggs can cost half a monthly minimum wage.
The GDP fell by 75%. That's three times as bad as the U.S.'s Great Depression.
Put simply, many Venezuelans are starving to death.
The bolivar, the Venezuelan currency that Ryan was bringing in to support his family, became almost completely worthless. They couldn't afford food or healthcare, even when it was available. By 2018, about 4 years into the worst of the crisis, Ryan decided that a drastic change was the only way to keep his family safe.
Pero yo decidí salir por el niño, por mi hijo. No había futuro, pues.
When Ryan was just 24 and his son was 6, he became one of the nearly 8 million Venezuelans to leave their country. That's a fifth of the population. And Ryan had to do it alone. No Rodrigo, no Rosemary, neither of his own parents or any of his siblings. He got on a bus and rode for 7 days. Out of Venezuela, all the way through Colombia and Ecuador, and finally into Peru. He arrived in Lima by himself, with everything and everyone he knew and loved over 1,000 miles away, still back in Venezuela.
Yo salí solo primero. Claro que difícil.
Within a few months, Rodrigo and Rosemary were able to join Ryan. The young parents both got jobs at restaurants, sending whatever extra money they could back to their family in Venezuela. They were surviving, but everything was different. Miranda, their home state in Venezuela, is tropical and green with beautiful beaches and all their family and friends. Lima is cloudy, completely brown and barren, and they didn't know anyone.
Todo, todo, extraño todo de Venezuela, las playas, la gente, el calor de hogar, la familia, las calles, todo, todo, todo.
And on top of everything else, they lost baseball.
Perú se conoce como un país futbolero, pues, ¿me entiendes?
Peru is crazy about soccer, almost exclusively. When Ryan and his family arrived, baseball basically did not exist there. There was no major pro league, zero Peruvian players in the MLB. When the Pan American Games came to Lima in 2019 and they had to build a baseball field to host them, Some people living nearby had no idea what the dirt diamond even was. Now, they do sell baseball bats in Peru, but only as a weapon for self-defense. Ryan and Rodrigo couldn't even get themselves a ball and a glove to play catch. Rodrigo said he was shocked that their new country didn't have baseball. At 6 years old, he couldn't fathom there'd be a country on earth that didn't love his favorite sport. All they could do was watch YouTube videos of their favorite players. They couldn't play themselves. Their pastime and their dream were completely gone. They felt lost. Four years after arriving in Peru, Ryan was working long hours at a chicken shop. One day, exhausted mentally and physically, he was scrolling Facebook, and he saw a post that stopped him in his tracks. Photos of Venezuelan kids in matching uniforms playing catch and hitting balls in a park in Lima. They were building a team, and they had gear. The post was like a burst of hope. Baseball was suddenly right around the corner. But with his current work schedule, there was no way Ryan could take Rodrigo to practice. So he made a plan. He quit his job, bought a moto taxi so he could set his own hours, and reached out to the coach to sign himself and Rodrigo up. Coach and player, father and son. And it wasn't just a hobby to keep his kid busy, or a way for a father to pass his favorite game down to his son. Baseball was about living again. It was about survival. And we'll get into all that later. But Rodrigo, who's now 11, wasn't thinking that deeply at the time.
Estuve feliz porque iba a jugar de nuevo béisbol durante cuatro años.
He was just happy to play again. The dream was back on.
Ryan and Rodrigo had finally found a chance to continue their dream of playing baseball. When we come back, the story of a ragtag Venezuelan baseball team with big dreams and the challenges they fight against every day.
I'm just jumping in to remind you that you're listening to Making Contact. If you like today's show and want more information, or if you'd like to leave us a comment, visit us at our new website, focmedia.org. There you can access today's show and all of our prior episodes. And now, back to the show.
This is Parque number 7 in Lima's Las Flores neighborhood. It's a lively Wednesday afternoon, and like they do every Monday and Wednesday, dozens of young baseball players and their families are gathering, including Rodrigo and Ryan. These days, the father and son are busy playing baseball almost every day. Ryan said his life is consumed completely by moto taxi work, training Rodrigo one-on-one, going to team practice, and sleeping. And this is just how he likes it. The team is called Los Astros. Actually, they call it an escuela de baseball. The Astros started in 2020 when the group's founder, Ramon, another Venezuelan dad in Peru, started playing with his son in the park. People saw them and they gradually attracted more players, parents, and coaches. Now they've got three teams and kids from ages 4 to 12, about 40 in total. It's at this big dirt soccer field complex, Parque number 7, where they practice. There's no outfield grass or backstop, just some goalposts they have to work around. They bring their own bases. Their field is in the San Juan de Lurigancho district. It takes about 45 minutes to drive there from the nicer part of Lima by the beach where all the tourists stay. And every time I've gone to San Juan de Lurigancho, I've had multiple Ubers cancel the ride when they see the destination. Too dangerous, they say. The neighborhood has been called Little Venezuela because it's home to so many of the 1.5 million Venezuelans that have moved to Peru. It's crowded and bustling. Multi-story apartment buildings and tuk-tuks honking their horns, vendors selling tequeños and arepas, Venezuelan cheese sticks and cornmeal cakes. I went with my friend and trusty translator, Christian. At the far end of the field, past all the soccer players, the kids were playing catch and getting warmed up, and their moms were setting up lawn chairs and chatting. One mom, Roxana, told me that it's almost like during practices, this dirt field in Lima turns into a little piece of Venezuela.
Eso es una emoción grande porque sentimos una parte de nuestro país, tener un pedazo de nuestra tierra aquí.
Peruvians love soccer. It's in their blood, she said. But as Venezuelans, baseball is in their blood. Baseball is everything.
Para nosotros el béisbol es... es todo. Sí.
A lot of the moms told me about a similar dark time when they first moved to Peru. A lot like what Ryan went through at first. No extended family, no familiar food, and no baseball.
¿Cómo fue ese tiempo sin jugar para el...
¿Triste?
Sí, sí, muy triste porque encerrado en cuatro paredes.
Estar encerrados de la escuela a la casa, la escuela a la casa, la casa a la escuela.
They were stuck in their rooms, stuck in a routine of school, home, sleep, school, home, sleep. There was nothing to look forward to, nothing to dream about. Rosemary, Ryan's wife, said that finding the Los Astros team felt like a light at the end of the tunnel. Another mom, named Carmen, said it was the best thing that's ever happened to their family.
No sé, por lo menos en la experiencia de nosotros como familia, lo mejor que nos ha pasado, el béisbol.
The kids have baseball, and the whole family now has community. Parents come and hang out the whole practice. And having a little refuge here is extra important because Lima is not always a hospitable place for Venezuelans. The xenophobia is intense and everywhere. I saw it myself many times. When I told one of my Spanish teachers in Lima that I do reporting on migration, she went off on a shocking anti-Venezuelan rant. She said they're all criminals and prostitutes, that she won't get on a bus if the driver's Venezuelan. So I wasn't really surprised when one of the team's coaches, Franklin, told me the story of the previous field they practiced at.
Mira, nosotros iniciamos en la zona de Canto Grande. Y nos lo decían directamente, no los queremos ustedes, no nos queremos.
The new growing club was practicing one day when some Peruvians who lived nearby paid them a visit. They told the coach directly, we don't want you here. And the only reason is that they were Venezuelans. It wasn't anything they hadn't heard before, but these people didn't stop at some rude comments.
No sacaron por xenofobia. ¿Por qué no querían a los venezolanos?
They sent the police to kick them out. Fortunately, this field has been working out fine for more than a year. But anti-immigration sentiment and xenophobia is a growing problem all over the world right now, and Latin America is no exception. It's a terrible pattern where immigrant populations who have to move to new countries face resistance and hostility for different reasons. In the 80s, the situation between Peru and Venezuela was reversed. It was Peru's lost decade of economic crisis and conflict with the country's guerrilla group, the Shining Path, and many of the Peruvians who went to Venezuela did not receive a warm welcome. And unfortunately right now, newcomers like Ryan and his family are also facing a hostile reception as new residents in Peru. One study found that a quarter of Venezuelan kids in Peru aren't in school, some of them because administrators just refuse to enroll them. One of the moms at practice, Luis Mary, told me that one time at school, a kid went up to her son, who was only 5 years old.
Un niño sí le dijo, ah, tú eres venezolano, tu mamá y tu papá fuman marihuana.
And said, oh, you're Venezuelan? So your parents must smoke marijuana then.
Y mi hijo me llega diciendo eso a la casa. Mami, ¿qué es la marihuana? O sea, con 5 años, porque tenía 5 años.
There are so many Venezuelans like Ryan in Peru and other Latin American countries. They were high-earning professionals, like insurance salesmen, accountants, or doctors at home. And in their new countries, they're working in restaurants or as cleaners. On top of all the practical challenges of moving to a new country, they deal with relentless ridicule at work and at school, on TV and social media. At her job, Luis Mary says customers will complain to her boss that they hired her.
No me parece justo que usted haga esto. Ay, que libros reclamaciones, que no sé qué. Se fueron a quejar con mi jefe, pero ya.
Just the day before I went to practice, Venezuela's national soccer team came to play Peru's in Lima, and the Peruvian authorities set up to check the immigration status of any Venezuelan fans who tried to enter the stadium. But at this field, there's none of that. Los Astros practice gives the kids, parents, and coaches a break from the challenges of being a migrant, and it makes them all feel more at home.
O sea, gracias al béisbol te sientes más en casa aquí.
Sí, porque se hace lo que nos gusta, ¿me entiendes?
But Los Astros isn't a social project or a mere distraction from the family's difficult lives. They have fun, that's for sure, but they also have a serious mission. They want their young players to make it to the big leagues. Not only would it be a dream come true, it could be a way out of poverty for the whole family.
Si de verdad es lo que quieren para su futuro, plantearlo como un trabajo, la manera en cómo van a sustentar su familia.
Franklin said the kids compete, not just participate. The club has connections to scouts in Venezuela that work for MLB teams. And when their most promising players get older, they graduate from Los Astros and they send them back to Venezuela to look for MLB opportunities.
Ya hay equipos interesados, han mostrado su talento y han mostrado interés las organizaciones hacia ellos.
One of their kids who went back just signed a deal with an Austrian baseball team. Not quite the MLB, but it's a step in that direction. And he's getting paid to play baseball. He might not have had that opportunity if not for Los Astros.
I think the scouts are always going to be where there's baseball and where there's potential.
That's Manny Padron, an MLB scout for the Miami Marlins. He said scouts don't normally make it to places like Peru where Venezuelans are just starting up baseball teams. But he expects they'll start as baseball grows there.
And if, you know, a year or two from now it's Peru, it's Argentina, like scouts will be there, you know, like that's the reality, you know, like especially nowadays teams are always trying to find an edge.
Manny was looking for talent in Venezuela in the mid-2010s for the Red Sox. And things were starting to get so bad there, a lot of teams pulled their scouts out.
There were only maybe 50% of the teams were actually competing in Venezuela at the time. So I would guess that some guys, you know, lost their opportunities.
Good players were falling through the cracks. And Venezuelans are very good players. There were 58 Venezuelan players on MLB rosters on opening day this March. Over 200 young Venezuelans have signed MLB deals already this year alone. 17-year-old Jose Perdomo recently signed one with the Atlanta Braves for $5 million. $5 million, or even a small fraction of that, is an astounding sum in a country with such a beleaguered economy that the minimum wage has dipped to as low as $1 a month. This is a big reason why parents like Ryan will move their whole working life around to help their kid make it in baseball. And there are some big success stories to point to.
Flores in the center field, a base hit.
I think on every inning, I just look up and watch 50,000 people just cheering for you. It was unreal.
Ready to throw. Flores will tag and come. The throw too late, 2-0.
This is Wilmer Flores of the San Francisco Giants. He made it all the way from hitting home runs in his hometown of Valencia, Venezuela, to playing in the World Series. With his $750,000 signing bonus at age 16, he bought his mom a Hyundai Sonata.
But it definitely helps, especially on our countries that, you know, a lot of things that we go through, it definitely helped.
But Wilmer was once a little kid in Venezuela who loved baseball. I told him about the kids in Lima, and he could imagine how painful it must have been for them to lose their sport and their dream for years.
It's got to be tough for those kids. I mean, I just wish they start something big over there. Because mm-hmm. I think if you're Venezuelan, you're going to have baseball in your blood anywhere you go.
Yeah. I played youth sports my whole childhood. And I, like pretty much every kid that plays, had the dream to do it professionally, however unlikely it was. But the parents and coaches were much more reserved. The goals they talk about are to have fun, build character, maybe get a scholarship to college if they're being ambitious. I know it's just realistic and completely logical, but honestly, that always kind of frustrated me as a kid. Like, why can't you dream with me? Los Astros are different. They are all working toward that goal, and they believe it will happen. Now there are enough baseball teams in Peru to do tournaments. Thanks to the influx of Venezuelan migrants, Lima has arepa restaurants everywhere, and now baseball diamonds. Los Astros even has a Peruvian player with two Peruvian parents. And maybe with time, more Peruvians will pick up baseball, and this Venezuelan game and culture and people won't seem so weird in Lima anymore. They'll all fit in. I talked with Rodrigo about the highlights of his young baseball career, and he told me about a recent tournament championship game against another team of Venezuelan kids called the Angels, where he made a diving catch in center field.
Hubo una jugada que estaba en el center field, una pelota que iba a picar y me deslicé y la agarré.
His dad said that in another tournament, a big one with teams that traveled from all over the region, they were playing against a team from Ecuador. The game was tied. It was the last inning. There was runners in scoring position, and there were two outs. Rodrigo came up to bat. It was the same situation Ryan was in almost 14 years earlier. And just like his dad, little Rodrigo hit a double.
Impulsó la carrera para ganar a Ecuador.
A walk-off double. And the team rushed onto the field to celebrate. After the game, Rodrigo asked his dad, what was your best moment as a player?
Le dije ese, porque él también le pasó lo mismo.
He told him he did the same, a game-winning double. And now Rodrigo knew how it felt. I asked Wilmer Flores from the Giants to give me a message I could send back to the kids, coaches, and parents of Los Astros.
Si de verdad quiere seguir jugando, nunca pierda la esperanza, no importa dónde esté.
If you really want to continue playing, never lose hope, he said. No matter where you are, find a way, look for help. And if you have the heart to play, you will continue playing.
Before we go, a quick update. Just as we were finishing up this story, Anthony got a WhatsApp message from Coach Franklin. Josnaker Colina, one of Los Astros' players who recently went back to Venezuela to try out for scouts, just got a deal with the New York Yankees. He's a 15-year-old right-handed pitcher who learned how to throw 90 miles per hour with his coaches in the dirt in Lima. On YouTube, they posted a slideshow with him wearing his Los Astros jersey in one pic and his new official Yankees gear in the next. In the words of Brad Pitt in the film Moneyball,
how can you not be romantic about baseball?
That's the voice of Liz Rebecca Alarcón from the podcast In Confianza with Pulso. You heard her in an abridged version of a story that came out in July 2024 that was produced by Anthony Wallace. To learn more or to find out where you can hear the full piece, head over to our website at focmedia.org. And that does it for today's show. I'm Lucy Kang. Thanks for listening to Making Contact. Bird note. To stay fit for the skies, most birds molt and regrow their flight feathers, one at a time along each wing. For an American robin with a 17-inch wingspan, that's 19 feathers per wing, molted and regrown over 2 months, just after the nesting season each year. Now let's scale up to the wing molt of a snowy albatross. One of the largest flying birds in the world, with a whopping 10 to 12 foot wingspan. The snowy owl.